This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are back with part two of Bill Hamer. Enjoy.
And I'm in the gym training. I think now we're at Brompton underneath the flat.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say where.
So we're there now. And then obviously all the pros are in there, Grant, Dennis, all the boys are in there, some training alongside them. So now I've got Joe Elfeed there.
Picking you here.
And he's going to me.
Do you want a bit of feedback?
He's going to me. Joe, this is Joe. He's going to me. Wear your next suit. Wear your next suit. Wear your next suit to the next show, mate. Wear your next suit to the next show, mate. I said, well, what's that? And he goes, no, I'll turn you over, kid. I'll turn you over, make you pro and all that. I said, you want to make me pro? He goes, yeah, I want to make you pro. I said, why is that? He goes, well, if you sign over with me, mate, he goes, I you can buy your own house. I said, I've already got my own house. Oh, all right, well, I can get you like easy like £1,000 a fight. I said, well, I can get one of them now from up the IBA for Malt Lock if I want one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I said, I'll tell you what, you want to turn me over, yeah? Easy, yeah, I'll turn you over. I said, all right, turn me over. I said, you pay for the medical, you pay for the scans, you pay for this, you pay for that. I said, I'll come fight on your show, turn me over. Oh, I don't work like that. If I do that for you, I've got to do it for everyone. I said, well, you want me to turn over? He goes to me, when was the last time you was down Chatham High Street? I went, last Sunday. He went, how many people stopped you and said, you're Bill Hamer, you're that pro boxer? I said, yeah. I said, no one. He went, well, I can make that happen for you. I can let people start knowing who you are. I said, you're Joe Elfeed. You're the biggest boxing promoter in the Southeast, don't you? He went, yeah. I went, and you know me. I went, and we got Grant Dennis in the ring. And he's a Southern Area champion. He's going to go and fight for an English title. I said, Grant. He said, yeah. I said, you know me, don't you? He goes, yeah. I said, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me, I said. I said, so you turning me over, I said, I don't need it.
Yeah.
And that is one of the reasons why I never turned over. Because I always feel, my mentality was, you want me, put something into me.
Yeah.
Now, I've got lads working for me. They've been working for me for 2-3 years.
Darren and all that.
Like working with my work. I'll get them all their tickets. I get them all their PBE. I earn money out of them.
Yeah.
But I put money into them. Buying vehicles, really, yeah. All these promoters out here, they don't want to give you nothing unless you're the next best thing off the block.
Yeah.
So what I said to him was, put it in yourself then, and we'll all get paid. And he obviously at the time didn't want to put it in. But he has... I've seen him, we get on really well.
He says to me,
should have fucking turned over at the time. At the time, I was 20 stone-ish, yeah. And I was doing all right. I was actually liking boxing.
Yeah.
And that's when I should have turned over, and I never did. And that was that. So I'm out to Queensbury, I'm training there, and I think Brian and Frank, Ball, GBBU, they're putting on shows. They're putting on shows, and I was down there, I was doing a bit of training. He goes, do you want to fight a last shot? I've got nowhere to fight. I'm thinking, you know, do I go back with Peter? Maybe sell a load of tickets, no one turns up. Jordan Averin ain't going on. You know, I'm just getting bowled over. He goes, we'll get you a fight. Get you a fight on our show. I said, all right. He ends up flying Mikey Carter over from Malta.
Yeah, they had quite a few more weeks
left. Yeah, so yeah. I boxed Mikey Carter at Lords Leisure Centre, that was.
Yeah.
Boxed him at Lords Leisure Centre and beat him. You know, he's game. He's old. He was old, you know, head like a coconut. But he was game and, beat him. And now I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm like, now I'm like, what do I do? Am I training? Am I not training? And had a bit of time off and then just stopped boxing for a while, you know?
Yeah.
That was it. And that's when I started doing the corners and that, I think, was for Andy Jefferson, Aaron Eldridge, Jack Conroy, yourself, John, was all coming in the gym at the time, I think.
It would have been Brompton.
I think it was Brompton.
It was Brompton, I think.
We was at Brompton underneath, but I was training at Sweatbox now and again, like on the weekends and stuff.
You had that one at Foxtrot as well, Jill, didn't you?
So that was a bit later, yeah, that was a bit later on.
Sweatbox Chatham, wasn't it? So they had the
upstairs. It was a good gym. Well, I mean, Frank and Brian had that gym. And we was training in there. And obviously the boys were putting on shows. So I was doing the corners and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was just plotting around, doing corners, helping people out on shows, not really getting involved in anything. And I got a call from Brian. He goes, we're putting a prize fighter on.
Oh, you're doing a tournament.
He goes, you're doing a tournament. He goes, what are you in it? I says, well, I'm 26 stone, mate.
Fuck.
I said, I'm 26 stone. He goes, but what are you in it? I said, who was in it? He told me the names that was in it. You know what I thought?
I know none of them.
I thought I'd beat him at 30 stone. That's what I thought. I thought in my head, I was kidding you not, I thought, I sparred half of them.
Yeah.
I've seen the other half fight. I said, I'll bowl them out. 26 stone or not. I said, give me a day to think about it. I didn't want to be so keen, you know what I mean? And he phoned me up and he goes to me, I tell you what, he goes, I'll give you the best ticket deal I've ever given anyone. Could have been bullshit. Could have just told me the same line as what he told someone else. Who knows? He goes, I'm going to give you 50-50 on the tickets. We're going to give you a purse as well. I said, all right.
That's quite good, though. That is quite good. 50 tickets.
I'm in my hometown. I ain't boxed in my hometown for ages. And we're going to be a prize fighter.
Who's that? Be Priestfield.
Priestfield.
Yeah.
I thought, we're going to do loads of tickets. We're going to earn money. It's cushy. Because at the time, my fighting game's over.
Yeah.
I'm working. I'm eating McDonald's every lunchtime. Me and Darren. I'm working for Darren at the time, I think. He goes to me, you going to start taking this seriously or what? I said, oh, fuck, yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow. So you said he was in it? I said he was in it, Dev. If I'm in the B draw, I'm walking to the final. I said, if I'm in the A draw, I'm running to the final. What do I mean? I don't care. You know what I mean? That's how I was.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to get paid a few quid doing this as well. And silly mistake that was. And I think I ended up with about 1,200 quid that night, yeah?
Okay.
1,200 quid I think I got. And comes to the first fight, there's Fort Luke Frankham. He literally did just run around the ring. He pumped, I don't even think he weighed 14 stone, but I don't know if he come in late or what, but he literally just run around the ring. He didn't even want to fight. He didn't even want to be there. Well, what's this dude doing? Is he coming to fight or what? Thought, I know how he is. He don't even want to get hit. What's this dude doing? I was just running after him like a little skulking, wasn't I? Like, where are you? He's just running around like a donut, he was. And I thought, I could see this going either way here, because I've landed with a few shots against him. He ain't thrown one shot. And they're all jumping around, they're all thinking they've won and all that. And I thought, myself, look at Jordan. I said, what's happening here, Jordan? He goes, oh, you've won it. He goes, but it's tight because he didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
So give the win to me. I thought, oh, that's Andy, second man there. Adam Harris is fighting Craig Dolan.
Little Adam.
Little Adam, right. The little leprechaun. He's fighting a Buffalo Soldier. Craig Dolan. I thought, well, I don't really care who wins out of them two, because they're both useless. That's how I was thinking at the time. Next thing you know, Adam wins. I thought, oh, well, I sparred Adam 100 rounds down at Sweatbox. He's getting nowhere near me. I was going to hold him off for that. I said, he's going to get nowhere near me, yeah? Just about go down to the ring. As I went out the ring, Frank goes to me. He's never done this to me. He goes, I think you might have lost that first one. Jordan goes, are you having a laugh, Frank? He's just going to go and fight two other people, and you're telling him you lost that, he lost that fight. You're going to sort yourself out, Frank. And they start arguing. I said, oh, whatever. I said, anyway, he's useless. If he wants to have it again, I'll have it again with him right now. He's a div. So he's in his beer. Goes down there, boxes Adam. Boxes his head off. He don't even hit me. And I swear to God, he don't even hit me. He goes to Adam. Adam, someone says, oh, Adam. He goes, they're too big. Can't get near him. He's just too big. Couldn't get near him. So I thought, that's Andy now. This is all panned out how I said. I'll be fighting Mason Shaw in the final. Because they asked me, who do I thought I'd be fighting in the final? So I'll be fighting Mason Shaw. I said, because he had a fight with Richard Samuels the other month. He beat Richard Samuels, but give it Samuels.
Samuels won with Tattoo, didn't he?
Yeah, they're British champions. Yeah, he used to fight with Peter Sutton for years. Must have had a fallen out of Peter. So then he went over to GBBU. So I'm upstairs getting ready. Going to be a delay. There's going to be a delay. Why is there a delay? Mason Shaw won't get out of the ring. So why won't Mason Shaw get out of the ring? Anyway, because Mason Shaw's fucking won the fight and they'd give it to Samuels. And I was like, hey? He went, he's going to get out of the ring. And I'm going, what really happened? I'm asking everyone what's happened there. And they're saying, yeah, Mason Shaw's beat him up. And they give it to Samuels. But Samuels is their British champ. And obviously they want Bill Armour versus Richard Samuels in the final. Yeah. That's how I'm thinking. Oh, that's all right, sweet. Richard comes walking out, because he's come out early, walking up the stairs. He goes to me, he goes, fucking knew it'd be me and you in the final, bruv. Yeah, I knew it'd be me and you. I went, yeah, no worries. I think they must have paid that Mason Shaw to get out of the ring, because he wasn't getting out of the fucking ring. He was in there for about 40 minutes. Mason Shaw went on to do the BKB.
Yeah, that's it.
He
fought Jack Draper, didn't he?
Yeah, fought Jack Draper. Yeah. Did he beat Jack or was it a draw? I can't remember now.
I don't remember, but
good fighter, heavy-handed fella for a small fella. But at the time, he was bigger than what he is now. He's lost loads of weight. And I was thinking to myself, it's definitely going to be me and Mason. And I thought, nah, it's going to be me and fucking that's me and Richard, yeah. Poor fella. So we're in there. Frank's been with me since day dot.
Yeah,
and he never took any money off me, Frank. Never. He's godfather to my kids. He's the most nicest fella you'll ever meet, Frank. Honestly, he'd do anything for you. And I ain't got a bad word to say about him.
I tried to get him on here, by the way.
I really ain't got a bad word to say about him. No, not one thing. And he goes to me, he goes, what's the prize money? I says, £1,000. I said, but listen here. I said, when we win this £1,000, yeah, I said, I'll split it with you. You have 500, I have 500.
Well, you get 500.
Yeah, because you have 500, I have 500, Frank. I'm already getting paid to fight that night. I've got Matt Upton down and all that. It's all the same setup, right? He goes, yeah, all right. Goes out in the first round. I thought I won it quite easy. Boxing on the back foot, you know, controlling the fight. I don't even get out of second gear. Same as the second round. I went out of breath. I'm 26 stone. I ain't even trained. Give them no respect at all. I've given them no respect at all. Worst thing I've ever done. That's what happened to me, yeah? I come back after the second round. I says to Frank, how am I doing? His words were to me was, in 2 more minutes, we're splitting £1,000. That's what he said to me. He went, you're 2-0 up. In 2 more minutes, we're splitting £1,000. I went out there, like that, bosh, bosh, bosh. Samuels hit me with a straight right hand, straight down the line. I see it coming and walk straight into it. Bosh, as he hit me, I after he'd done the op, skip and jump. But then I copped hold of him and I held on to him. And the ref splats up, and oh, we're doing it again. And the ref splats up, and oh, we're doing it again. Oh, dear life. Oh. Next thing you know, we get out of here. And I think to myself, I need to come back here with something now. I'm 100% now, back in the room. And I proper give it to him. Bash, bash, bash. I'm hitting him with straight shots. He's clarets all over, running down his face. I feel like I've written a wrong from the previous minute. He's won the first minute of the round, I've won the second minute of the round. Ding, ding, end of the round.
Normally, at the end, if you nick it at the end, the judges like the end bit.
Yeah. So, ding, ding, end of that. I'm walking over to his corner. The winner of the prize fighter got to fight for the British title in 8 weeks' time. But Samuels was the British champ. Yeah?
Sure.
So, I goes walking over to the corner and I says, looks like we'll be having that in 8 weeks' time again. He went, the corner went, he went, yeah, you only narrowly nicked it though. That's what his corner says to me. Corner went to me, you only narrowly nicked it, like at the ump. Anyway, goes to the corner. Frank goes to me, lovely, that's 500 quid each. Good day's work. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Unanimous decision. I thought, unanimous. That's what we're fucking unanimous. Well, it's definitely me. Because I've won the first two rounds. They're telling me in the corner, I've won the first two rounds. It's definitely me. Give it to him. You could hear a pin drop. Give it Samuels. You can hear a pin drop. I was like, what's fucking going on here? Looked over to the fucking judges. All three judges all sitting next to each other. Not one there, one there, and one over there. Darren, the business partner now, but I work for him at the time, comes over to me. He goes, you want to smash his fucking gap up? He goes, just smash his fucking gap right up now. And then have another show in here again.
Yeah.
I went, nah. My dad come walking over. Bless him, because he was alive then. He went to me, he went, come on, let's go. I went, oh, he went, come on, let's go. I knew then. I knew I'd won the fight.
Yeah.
Because he'd tell me outright. He'd go, yeah, you lost that. But, like my brother reminds me now. He goes, the biggest night of your sort of unlicensed fighting career, like your biggest night, you're fighting in your own town. Yeah. You're fighting in a prize fighter. You're fighting for money. You're fighting for a nice trophy. You've got everyone in your own town watching you. He goes, and you fat useless bastards, coming at 26 stone, thinking you're going to bow everyone out. I said, yeah, I know. He goes, why? Out of all the nights we've ever had out, fighting, going here, going there. He goes, that one night where you had to be right, you was fucking well wrong. I said, yeah, I know. My fault. Let me go training. Let me fight Richard in 8 weeks' time for his British title. Because I just think they wanted to keep Richard there, his British title. They'd already paid me enough money, apparently give me the best ticket money deal there that night. He didn't sell no fucking tickets, I don't think he was a good draw, Richard. And I think he lived in Dover somewhere, didn't he? Coming up to Gillingham all the time.
No.
So I think they just wanted me to fight him in 8 weeks' time. And I said, I'll fight him in 8 weeks' time. I'll go train. I'm not training, I'll fight. Says to Brian afterwards, Brian comes up, he goes, fight him again in 8 weeks' time. I said, what, get the same fucking result? There's still bitter in my mouth.
Nah.
I said, all right, anyway. Leaves us there, gets in contact with him. He don't want it again. I said, oh, maybe he thinks. But the DVD then's come back, yeah. So I says, oh, I'll buy the DVD, yeah? I'll never buy fucking DVDs. I wish I did, because my kids want to watch them all now. And where the Queensbury's not on no more, it's called Quest. They've lost all their stuff all on YouTube. And none of my fighters are on there at all. I've lost them all. So I'm gutted about. So I'll buy the disc. I think I'll buy it with Eric Guy. I think Eric Guy, bless him, was doing the show.
Yeah, he was.
I left that in my bag for about a year. I never even watched it because the fight weren't happening, it never happened. I left it in my bag for about a year and I had a day off work once and I thought, I'm watching that fight, mate. I thought, I watched the Mason Shaw and Richard Samuels fight.
Yeah.
The fight weren't even on the disc.
Man, that's all.
The fight weren't even on the disc. And I thought, why ain't that fight on the disc? Maybe because
sure,
it's going to cause more uproar than what it's worth, yeah? So I thought, oh, fucking hell. And then I watched my fight back. And I thought, I've won that. But I thought, am I fucking watching it through painted glass? Like my own fucking view, you know what I mean? Maybe I didn't win it. Maybe I never. But I lost it because I fucking weren't ready. I lost it when I said, yeah, at 26 stone. And my boss is going to me, you're going to start training, Bill? You're going to go to the gym? And I'm like, yeah. And I never went to the gym. I lost it. And that's what I say to people. That's why I don't really fight now. That's why I don't fight now. Is because I lost to someone who I shouldn't have lost to because I just weren't ready.
Yeah.
That's no disrespect to Richard, because I knew Richard when I used to watch him down at Wonderland when he fought for Peter. Good fighter. He was okay fighter. But I was 26 stone and I was fucking big and clumsy and he narrowly got the win. But he would never have got the win if I was ready. Never. Yeah. Never. I know that 100%. But good. And then what happened then? I left that night and I didn't box for ages. I thought, nah, I ain't boxing. That's it now. I've had enough of it. And then, I don't know what happened. I said, I'm going to have a go. I'm going to have one last go. I'm going to give it me all. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get on a diet. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to do everything fucking right this time. I'm going to do everything right. Go to the gym. I'm in the gym. Training. I think Brompton's still open then, underneath the tower blocks.
The flats, yeah.
They're still there. And I think I was getting Dave Jones. I think I was doing a lot of sparring with Dave Jones. He was going down to Sheppey. I think he might have been getting ready for fucking Dubois or somewhere like that. He was getting ready for something.
Macaulay or Dubois.
Yeah, I think he was going up. He was fighting. He was going up sparring with Tyson and all that, Fury and all that. And I thought myself, yeah, we'll get amongst it. And I've been in the gym for about 3 months. And I mean, I ain't had a fizzy drink for 3 months. I ain't had a packet of crisps for 3 months.
I bet he was fuming.
I ain't had a chocolate bar or nothing. You know, I'm taking it right serious. I've lost like 4 or 5 stone. I'm doing all right. I'm getting back to where I need to be. I've got a phone call from someone. Some guy's in Hastings, some from the Fighting Fit Academy or something.
Yeah.
He goes, Bill, we got a show on tonight. And I've lost the heavyweight fight. I says, all right. He goes, yeah, it's in Hastings. I said, who's it against? He goes, Craig Dolan, the Buffalo Soldier.
Yeah.
Who was in the prize fighter. And I thought, well, I was going to beat him when I was 26 stone. I'm now fucking 23 stone-ish, yeah, 22 stone. I can't see it being a problem. So I says to him, says, yeah, how much, mate? Because now I'm thinking I'm coming back. I'm just coming back to fight. I'm going to be ready all the time. I want to earn some money. What do we do? He goes, I'll give you 350 quid. I said, how many rounds is it? He goes, 5 rounds. I says, nah, mate, you're all right. I says, I'll do it for 500. He said to me, you're breaking my back. I says, oh, I'm fucking stealing the show, mate. I said, you ain't got fucking heavyweight. I said, this is like, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're telling me to be there at 7 tonight. Oh, I'll give you 500 quid. I said, all right, I said, he's umming and ahhing. He said, listen here. I said, one thing you got to remember about me. I said, when I say I'm coming.
Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock. I'm saying I'm coming. That means I'm being there. And I'm coming to fight as well, yeah? Yeah. So that's what we want. I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, but you ain't got to worry now about finding someone else for the rest of the day. You ain't got to be worrying about them not turning up.
Yeah.
I said, I'm coming. He goes, yeah. Or I'll give you 500 quid. So put the phone down. Said to the old woman, I said, fighting tonight, Hastings, 500 quid. She goes, all right. She goes, you do know Frank's in Jamaica, don't you? I said, oh, yeah, fuck. Oh, fuck. Here's me, took a fight, I ain't even asked my trainer. So I said, it's better not. I said, Jordan had come, my brother had come. I said, Darren had come.
Yeah.
He was my boss at the time. And I went down there. First round won the second round. Rocked him all over the place in the third round. But I thought to myself, I ain't boxed for ages. I don't want to steam into him still be there, and I've got 2 more rounds.
Yeah.
Darren's getting mad on the apron and all that. And beat him. Took the ICB heavyweight title off him. Took the 500 quid. And left. He's come up to me, goes, you weren't supposed to be his man to fight tonight. He's trained for someone else. Yeah, man, yeah, go on. Whatever. So we want the ring. This was in... October, November time. He goes, we want to rematch again in February. I said, yeah, you can have the rematch again in February. Yeah. I went, it's $2,500. He went, what? He went, oh, it's $2,500. He went, well, I said, you want the rematch? He sold over 100 tickets down here tonight. Sold none. Only person I'd dare cheer my name was my dad. I said, he wants it again. It's $2,500. See you later. And he never phoned me again. Of course, he weren't going to phone me again.
Yeah, $2,500.
And then after that, I think that was in November. Dave Jones was getting ready for one of the fights. Mm. I can't remember what it was. So he phoned me up. He says, you can come down and spar me. So I went down to Sheppey. I sparred him down in Sheppey. And his brother was getting on the scene then. Ty Jones. He was getting on the unlicensed scene. He says, he come to spar. I said, yeah. Thanks, come back. I said, I'll box over night. He goes, what? I said, I'll box over night. He goes, they get on. So I won. He says, oh, what? Yeah, fucking hell. Well done. So we're training. And I said to him, we've been training for ages. I said, and I ain't asked for no sparring, nothing. He goes, what, we go sparring? Well, I'll take you some sparring. So I used to go up to Essex Kickboxing Academy, he's going to spar with Chrissy Wooten and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Up there, Steve Cutledge's gym, all Reese Rowe and all that. And I said, that's how dedicated I was to training. But I wasn't even interested in sparring and all that, but that's what I used to like doing the most.
Yeah.
And I went down to Ray Ash's gym down there, and I jumped in there, and I fucking rolled my knee. And they thought it was the ring that went. They thought it the ring made a noise. It was my knees went crunch right over. I thought, that's gone. My knee's gone. I thought, no, I'll strap it up. Strapped it up. Deep beating it up. Carried on. And it just went. And I said to Darren, I said, I've proper done it. I think I need an MRI. I thought, I've proper done that. I think I've proper hurt it. He's like, no. I thought myself, this is the only time that I've ever really wanted it. Like, I've only ever really, really wanted it. Yeah, talking 6 years ago, I was 28 or 34 now. So it's about 28, I think it was, about 6 years ago. And I thought, it's the only time I've ever wanted it. And now I can't have it.
Yeah.
So I waited. And come back, I said, you need surgery. We need to cut both sides of your knee. Go in there, burn the ligaments out. Whatever. So how long are you going to be out for? He goes, 6 to 8 weeks. So that's all right. That's fine.
That's not that long for a knee.
No, but then he said to me, he goes, there is other problems. So what's that? He goes, your four pads. He goes, they're really wearing. Either side, yeah. And he said, he goes, you've always trained while you've been 20 stone plus. And it's crunch. You're mobily obese. You're well overweight. You know what I mean? That's how it is. But yeah, it's fine. He says, well, while we're there, we'll work on the pads for you. Yeah? We'll sort the pads out for you. So how long is that? He goes, it could be out for 6 months. Mm. And I'm like, I've got missus. I've got two kids. I'm going to be out for 6 months. I can work every day. I'm going to work. I'm working. I'm earning my money. I'm doing what I'm doing. My wife had our second child, I think, at the time. Stanley. Yeah, it was probably about then. Yeah, I think it was. And I'm thinking, do I need to be out for 6 months of work?
Mm.
And then I thought, I'm not having the op. Delayed the op. And then when it was time, I thought, I'm all right now. I can have a bit of time off. I called the op on.
Yeah.
And when I called the op on, they just kept cancelling it. Even one day, I went there, it's the weirdest thing. I went to the hospital, 7 in the morning, I got ready, got changed to go down. Have a guess who was the nurse? It was Peter Stoughton's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Stoughton's missus, yeah?
Yeah.
She goes to me, you're like, but what's happening? I said, I'm having my knee done. She went, oh, I said, that's why I ain't boxed forever, how long? She says, all right. I thought to myself, that was calm then, I was calm. So I was a bit like, I'm getting put out to sleep. What happens if I don't wake up? All this shit. I thought, the lady who's looking after me today is Peter's wife, who I've known for years. Nice lady. And she's cushiony. 4 o'clock, she says to me, you ain't going down. I sat there all day.
Nil to mouth as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I sat there all day. And I thought to myself, you know what? I called it on. They couldn't have it. Then I didn't want it. I can't do it. I said, you know what? I'm not having it done. And to this day, I've not had the knee operation done. Hence why I don't do any more fighting.
Fucking hell. I didn't realise we were the same age.
Yeah, 34, yeah. And I'm 34, and it's weird now because I've got two sons and a daughter, 7, 5, and 2. My Arthur, he's 7. He fights, he's at PWA. He's at Paul Whiffen Academy.
Yeah.
He's had 3 fights now for Paul. And he's mad, he wants to fight all the time. 7-year-old, he's nearly 8, he wants to fight all the time. He's the only one really out of his age in that gym that wants to fight.
Yeah.
From, say, 7 to 10, he's the only one who wants to fight. He wants to fight all the time. And he goes to me, he goes, you fight again, Dad. Like, I want to see you fight. And I'm like, oh, 34,
good lad. Ain't
got you too long. Yeah, no, nothing. I've got a couple of DVDs, not me. And I keep thinking to myself, you know, maybe have one more, you know. Maybe.
He's going through that midlife crisis. You know, I'm going through
it. Right, no, before I started boxing, from 16 to 20, I was banger racing.
Yeah.
Always racing. And that next year, next May, we're doing a 2-day meeting at Mildenhall. I'm racing a Bentley. And Darren's racing a Rolls Royce. And I've sort of, it is like a midlife crisis because I'm sort of living it all over again. I'm going to do banger racing, what I've done in my past, what I call my past life.
Yeah.
And same as boxing, because it happened so long ago. And then I think to myself, do I have a boxing fight at the end of the year? You know, have my son maybe walk one of my belts into the ring? Thing like, because my dad, God bless him, I think he's been dead now 5.5 years, my dad. Probably 5.5 years, yeah. And after every fight, he would say to me, when's the next one?
Yeah.
When's the next one, son? Get one up, you know. I'd go round there to see him, and he'd be with one of his friends in the kitchen, and he'd be showing him my last fight on the YouTube. He was my biggest fan. He was my biggest fan. He wanted me to fight all the time. He wanted me, the way he says to me, always be ready to have a fight. And I think since he's passed away as well, that was it for me. I had no reason to do it. You know, I've got money. I've got enough money. So it ain't even about the money. It ain't like someone can now phone me up and go, there's £1,000 tonight if you want to go and fight 3 rounds. I'll probably be like, nah, 5 grand maybe. You know, that's how it is. You know.
Your brother's Johnny.
No, not John. You got my brother is John, yeah.
Yeah, that's
my brother John.
Yeah, because he was in the gym with you when I was down there, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was training a lot of lads in there as well, yeah. But he's another one, you know, he's ex-amateur. He had a load of amateur fights, and he rolled his shoulder. He had to have a recovery cuff done. Had the operation. Can't even throw a shot no more. Could barely work.
I remember speaking to him in the gym and thinking, like, knowledge-wise, he was really... I remember picking his brain, and I was like, You've got a lot of knowledge there. You know when you speak to someone and they come with a little nuances and stuff like that.
He's been around good trainers, you know. His trainer was obviously Warren Simmons, Danny Woodgate.
Yeah.
No, Danny Woodage.
Yeah.
They're Rico and Carol's trainers now. So they've got their own gym now, and they've got Moses and Tuma. So he's been trained by good trainers, you know.
Mm.
And like I say, when he was training me in the end, it was him and Frank. And I felt comfortable with him when I was like, obviously my brother. Like I said to you before, I never won a fight until he told me I could win it.
Yeah.
I doubt myself. I thought, well, he's a big old fella. He's good. I see him knock him out. He beat him who beat him. But when my brother said to me, you'll beat him, that was it.
I think listening as well, listening to everything you've said, I think your brother seems to be one of the only people that could give you a real honest, your shit at this point.
He's so honest and out there what he says. Sometimes you think, fuck, even when we're talking about normal people or we're out with people, he's so blunt and honest and says things, you think, fucking hell, man, why are you saying that? But he's right at what he's saying.
But I think
he's saying what we're all thinking, but he don't care. And that's when it, because he's the one who said to me, bro, he goes, don't fucking do this fight. He goes, you're 26 now, you don't need it. And I'm like, nah, fuck it. I'm like, in my head, I think, nah, I'm going to beat these. And then I should have listened to him. But even now, he says it to me now. He goes, could have had a go, couldn't you? He goes, you could have had a go. You could have had a go. But the thing is with, like, even when people say, why don't you turn over? Like, you say, why don't you turn over? I feel like pro is just a three-letter word, mate. Means nothing. Just means absolutely nothing to me, being a pro. Nothing. Because I think there's two types of pro. You've got your working class pro and you've got your pro. I can't see how you can be classed as someone as a pro and be in the same pond as what I call elite pros, like pros, you know what I mean? That's me. That's just my mindset. But I just feel like unless you haven't got a job, unless you're just getting paid to box and you're making proper money, I don't even class people as pros.
Do you not think with what you're saying though, like somebody that really that whilst you're like really springs to mind, yeah. like Derek Chisora,
yeah.
really springs to mind of what you're saying. Yeah. He's been able to build with it.
The thing with Derek Chisora is he did win amateur boxing. He did win ABAs, yeah? And years ago, you had to win them to be a pro.
Yeah.
You had to be something to be a pro. Yeah. Now any man and his dog can be a pro.
But you were topping people over on probably one of the best unlicensed scene. Yeah. And I think the unlicensed scene nowadays... Yeah. It's got a lot better because there's guys that...
You know, I was fighting in the Queensbury when people like Anthony Yard and that was in there.
Yeah.
You know, I was with them boys, yeah.
That's what I mean.
And I've seen them go and do good stuff. And then, but people asked me the other week, you know, have you got any regrets? Was around the dinner table the other week. And I said, you got any regrets? I said, yeah, I've got one regret. And I said, I never took boxing seriously enough when I could have done, when I should have done. No, then that is my own. I've got no other regrets in life. No other regrets at all in life. At all. None. Apart from, I should have just give that a bit more seriously. Yeah. And my wife goes to me, really? I say, yeah, but my wife was my fan on the night of this fight.
During the training period.
You know, but the fights are won and lost 12 weeks before.
Yeah.
And that's why when you say to people, boxing is a single man sport. It's a lonely game.
Mm.
That's why people go away for 12 weeks, 8 weeks, because they're not wrapped up in that family life, work life. And that's what's happening to me. You know, my wife one night when I come home from the gym late, I was out sparring Damien and that. She holded my second child up to me and she said to me, here you go, this is what your dad looks like. That's what she said to me. That's what she said to me, yeah? And that's the God's honest truth. And she'd tell you that to me and all. Because I was out the door Monday night, Tuesday night. Wednesday, I used to say to her, that's our night.
Yeah?
Then I was out at the gym, then it was Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. And you know what? Some Wednesdays, when it was her night, mine and her night, I'd fucking go somewhere to spa. And she'd go to me, you punt, that's our night.
Yeah,
and I go, yeah, but don't worry, because I'll have our on out Friday, and we go out Friday, we do something Friday. Yeah, then Friday come, I'm fucking somewhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when she said that to me, she said to me, here you go, here's what your dad looks like. She said to me, you ain't even getting paid for it. Ain't even like, you're earning loads of dough out of it. she couldn't see that maybe...
Passion in it.
My passion. She couldn't see like maybe like, you know... Give a little bit now to have a lot later or something like that.
Your brain ticks.
My brain ticks. But in the meantime, I thought to myself, yeah, maybe I could have sold a few tickets. Maybe I could have boxed for a Southern Area title. Maybe I could have done that. But then what it is as well with a lot of pros, yeah, this is why I'm getting back to the average pro now, the working class pro.
Yeah, yeah.
People that I think really, it's good for you being a pro, but what are you going to do after? You dedicated your life to being a pro because you think in your head that you're going to be a good pro. Or someone's blown smoke up your ass and told you you're going to be a pro. And after you've given 15 years of trying to be a pro, you can't fight no more. You got no dough. The only thing you know about is boxing. And what you're going to end up being is a PT up the local gym for £20 an hour. And that is where 9 out of 10 fighters that think they're pros and have been pros are going to be. Or they're going to be stuck on the building site doing the job that I was doing beforehand.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I thought to myself, I could go down that road, or I could try and go down this road, be a boss, be this, do something a bit better for myself. And that's what I've done. Because even all my pro mates that are pros, all right, they might have gone and fought for titles, some of them might have won them. But they're all going to be stuck in the mud. They're all stuck in the mud now. Some of them still living at home with their mums. It's true, isn't it?
It's a bad old game.
I know ex people that fought for world titles and they got nothing.
Yeah.
In their life. Because all they've done is, but they can turn around and go, I was an ex pro.
Yeah.
And that's good. If that's what makes them tick, good. People go to me, you could have been a pro, yeah. So get any man and his dog. If anyone wants to go out there and have the meeting and pay the £1,500, they can be. Why are you looking at me? Did you do that then?
I've been up the board.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You've been up there.
I've got granted.
Not granted, but they weren't for you.
Wow.
But that's the truth, though. It's not, but that's one. People are going to, yeah, that's my only regret is maybe not taking it seriously. But the family, that's what you get. This is what makes me laugh in this program. You get good prospects that are actually quite really good,
mm-hmm.
but you think actually are going to be good. They are good. But then they are thinking in their head, do I go down that road of not having nothing, trying to build a career, really, really well, trying to get sponsors on board, trying to do this? Or do I look after my wife, look after my kids, make a home for myself, earn more money than what I'm earning, getting punched up and all that? And then they go two ways, and some of them they go that way because they can't go that way. And you get people that go that way and they're just absolutely useless. They get to 10 fights because they've boxed useless and off, can't box and off, and just turn up and off. And they have 10 fights and they get to 10 and 0, and everyone's going to them, well, you're the next best thing since sliced bread.
That's going to be one of the titles, can't box and off.
Because everyone's telling them, oh, you're the next best thing since sliced bread. They don't know we've got juice to go in the water. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, and then what happens is they get to their 11th fight and then they get bowled over and it's like, oh, what do I do now? I used to sell 100 tickets, now I sell 70, now I sell 30. Now I'm struggling to sell 30 tickets. Yeah. I'm a pro. I've been bowled over. No one don't want me no more. Tell you what, I'm going to go back to roofing. And that's what happens. So I just thought, because I'm not going to be a big fish in a small pond, I'm just going to be one of them average working pros. I'm just going to go there, sell a few tickets. I'm going to fight Usain off, can't box him off, bow him over and off, and then fucking, you know, get found out or whatever. But it ain't worth it.
You're the only man to say it like
you, but
yeah,
fair. On that.
I'm one of these people where if you ask me a question, I'll tell you the answer.
We're
in a fight between me and you. You've got half a chance, I'm 30 stone there. But no, it's like, you know, I love boxing.
Yeah.
I'll go and watch all the
On that, now. We like to sort of pick.
Yeah,
you can pick
my brains,
aren't you? Yeah, no, so we've like favourite, we basically ask all our guests favourite attributes with past, present, future.
Yeah.
Build the perfect boxer. So if I was to say defensive work, who would you say has got the best defensive work, past, present?
Floyd Mayweather's got the best defence, I think.
What about boxing IQ?
Tyson Fury's right up there. He can tell you, Tyson, when he talks, I know he waffles, you know, but when he talks, a lot of people listen that he can tell you who boxed who, and they boxed, how they box, and he pretends he don't know. Yeah. Pretends he doesn't like it, but his boxing IQ, Tyson's, is second to none, I think.
What about footwork?
Footwork. I don't know. Well, Mayweather, he's got that movement. That Mayweather, he had that movement. Sugar Ray Leonard, he's got that movement and all. That's where it's, probably Sugar Ray Leonard. Yeah.
Chin,
the hardest chin. I used to think it was Joe's Joyce.
Until
I sat front row and I see
old Gilles Zhang.
Jane fucking fold him up like a pretzel. You know what I mean? He went, he got folded up like a deck chair, old Joyce, that night. But Chin, yeah, I thought it was him. But Chin, at the minute, though, like, on the game at the minute now, I think everyone's chinny, isn't they?
Yeah, everyone's getting cooked now.
I think everyone's been throwing that. I think they're all chinny. I don't think there's more. You know what, though? I will say that Zhang, you know, I thought the loss that he had, I thought he won.
I thought he won against Hurtchevich.
Yeah, I thought he won that. I watched that fight. No, I watched it in a crowd, though, so I probably couldn't watch it spot on, but I thought he won. But I think he's got a chin, hasn't he?
What about punch power?
I do think punch power. I think I'm watching Moses a lot.
Right.
I'm watching Moses Atumba a lot. I'm getting out of there, you know. Oh, when I watched him the other week, I went to Saudi and watched him out there. You know, 18-year-old. You know, I think he's ready to fight for domestic titles now. Mm. You know, because the people that have got him or fighting from, you know, they ain't anywhere near him. But he's young. But yeah, as a prospect, you know, he's the main man. You know. I love boxing, but I like to follow someone. I feel like if you're not following anyone, it just ain't there. And I follow Tyson Fury, and I go to all of his fights. I've been Dusseldorf, been Vegas, you know, was out in Saudi, I'm going to Saudi in February. You know, like where he's fighting, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
I know he ain't got many left, so. But for the artist shot, he's definitely Dante Wilder, though, he has got that ferocious power. But you know, like when someone fights someone, you know, I remember when James DeGale boxed Badu Jack.
Yeah, I was there for that.
That fight was such a fight. I may even think people had DeGale winning that fight. But that fight ruined DeGale. He didn't come back from that fight because that one, as they say it to you, one fight could take it out of you. You've got nothing left after that. And after that fight, I know he came on and won a world title, but after that, I just thought he was never the same man. And I was just thinking, is Dante Wilder going to be the same man after them three hidings from Fury?
We'll find out on the...
He's going to fight his last fight.
He's got Parker, isn't he?
Parker. I like Parker. Well, a lot of time for Parker.
It's Dante Wilder, Parker, isn't it? And then Wallin and Joshua.
He's a lovely man, Parker. He's got time for everyone. His family is lovely, you know, when we see him and we chat to him and that, he's lovely. But I just thinking to myself, I think Dante's going to get him out of there. I think he's going to be around 8 or 9. Yeah.
The last one would be then attacking prowess. So the best, like, attacking boxer.
Come forward aggressive fire at the minute. Again, you know, from what I'm watching, is Moses, he comes forward, he wants to fight, he's there, he's ready. Fabio Wardley, he's up for a tear up, he wants to fight anyone, that man.
He come from unlicensed,
he only had a few. He's a bit slow starting though, you know. He has to take a shot and get wound up before he goes. But I don't really know, like, come forward aggressive fighter. I don't think there's many that I could say, like, are sort of running at people that really, really want to. I think it's all like people are worried about getting knocked out themselves now.
Yeah.
Until they get into, like, where they really, really, really want to really, really wanna get at it.
Yeah.
As such, you know. But I think domestically, next year, I think we're going to see a few good fights in the heavyweight game, I think, domestically now. I think the Saudis, like I say, they're fun.
I've been
around the world and I've watched fights around the world. I've been to Vegas, I've been to Germany, I've been to Saudi, I've been like that. I was out in that Saudi. I know the show looked great, but it was nothing like a fight week in Vegas.
Yeah.
It was nothing like it at all. And I'm talking to all the pros and all that there. They reckon the Saudis are going to get bored of it in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they reckon.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Obviously, appreciate your time. If you like the episode, follow us on Patreon. Sign up to Patreon, £3 a month, or follow us on our socials, the JMS Boxing Podcast. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.